Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader. It's time for BSB Extra.
Pop alone if you feel like a room without a roof.
Sports and racing interviews, the latest markets, tips, and more. Welcome to Summer's BSB Extra. Brought to you by Coolmore Australia, home of champions.
Abercomb.au, Trent Langscale. Morning, Trent. How are you?
Oh, I'm all good. Yourself, Cozzy?
Fantastic. What a great weekend. We're going to talk racing later on with Ron Dovercy and also Dean Lester. We'll be looking at that. Big weekend of racing here in Sydney, of course, Melbourne as well, Caulfield. But the Gold Coast, we saw Hootson come out again. Gee whiz, she is pretty impressive, isn't she?
Pretty impressive. That would be an understatement, Cozzy. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that win at the Gold Coast, now the favourite for the Magic Millions Tyrrell Classic. But we'll know the fields later on this afternoon. Yeah. And then they do the Barry draw tomorrow. So we'll just see what happens there. But yes, that was, you couldn't have done any more than that. And all of a sudden, yeah, just a judging. And that's where, I guess, that's where Duff and Dean can come in as well. We can sort of compare from what they've seen in regards to horses like From Within and Medinity, particularly down south, and then coming up to win the Wyong Magic Millions. So always intrigue when you see this is the first main two-year-old race, even though it restricted the Magic Millions, but this is a big one to start 2017.
And interesting the raps on the fillies that have been put on by the jocks, with Jeff Lloyd saying that Hootson could have gone around, quote, on the outside rail and still have won. It's a fair quote. And then Glenn Schofield rode From Within Work and just said, they won't beat this. He's very, very confident as well. And it all just makes up for wonderful theatre and a great race.
Adds to the race, and Jeff Lloyd's pretty happy. He's also got a pretty handy three-year-old in the guineas as well, Cozzy, so he could have a big day at the Gold Coast on Saturday.
Absolutely gloating he would be. I tell you, another fellow who's going pretty well at the moment too is Nathan Lyon. He's had a lot of success. The Big Bash Series tonight, Sydney Sixers take on the Melbourne Renegades at the SCG, and he's with us now. Morning, Nathan. How are you?
Morning, boys.
Fantastic. This is going to be an interesting game tonight. This competition's been pretty close, hasn't it?
The talent that's been on show this year has been unbelievable. So it's I'm definitely looking forward to getting back out there in the magenta and playing for the Sixers, that's for sure.
How do the call-ups to the other, the one-days and things like that affect your sides? Because all of a sudden you can look like you're flying, then you can lose a major key player, can't you?
Definitely. You can probably look at Brisbane Heat. Obviously, Chris Lynn's been on absolute fire with them, with batting with the Bash Brothers, but something like that can be a big loss to a BB side. But there's plenty of young talent out there that hopefully come out and step up. So we're looking forward to the challenge tonight against the Renegades.
And Nathan, for yourself, you don't really have too much time to rest. I mean, you're only at the SCG around about this time a couple of days ago. I know that the Big Bash, you'll get into it tonight, but just reflection on the test summer, because obviously it wasn't the best of starts against South Africa, but all of a sudden some fresh blood has come into the side. We've seen Matt Renshaw, a brilliant century there in the Sydney test, and Peter Hanscom's come in the test cricket with aplomb. So just from your point of view, one of the seasoned players in the side now, just a good transition from the series between South Africa and then Pakistan.
Definitely. So it was a pretty disappointing start. We don't need to really talk about that one, but to be able to bounce back to win in Adelaide against South Africa was a quality opposition. But then to beat Pakistan 3-0 was an exceptional effort by everyone. It was a pretty well balanced team effort. So I was pretty proud of all the boys, especially all the young ones like Matty Renshaw, who came in to get 180 like he did at the SCG. But then you look at Peter Hanscom, who's played unbelievable in every game. So the young blood there, the young talent, they all stood up, and was pretty excited to be a part of.
As far as taking test wickets go, you're getting up to almost a rarefied air now. You're 228 from 63 tests. Richie Benno, they're starting to say, well, you're on his hammer, 248. But when you get past that, into that area, by gee, you're amongst the elite of the game, Nath.
I haven't really looked at it. I know my dad tried to talk to me about it the other day, but I said, told him that I'll talk to him at the end of my career when I'll end up it. But hopefully there's a lot more cricket to be played for himself. Loving playing cricket for Australia and under Steve Smith. So hopefully it's going to be a tough tour over to India, but it's a challenge. If we can challenge ourselves against the best, that's the only way we're going to get better. So it's going to be good fun.
Well, don't listen for the next 3 or 4 seconds, but Nathan's on the hammer of Richie Benno, Jason Gillespie, Craig McDermott, Brett Lee, Mitchell Johnson. You got Lily up on 355. I think we'll leave Warnie out of it on 708.
Yeah, not getting there.
No, but you're going all right anyway, aren't you?
I'm feeling good, so hopefully we can keep kicking along.
But for yourself as well, Nathan, even during those test series, there was a little bit of a question just about the form itself for you in the side, but you've managed to get back. And like I said, it was just great that, particularly in the Melbourne test on the last day as it was, it seemed like it was going to peter out to a draw, but for yourselves, managed to get Pakistan rattled and rolled in that last innings, and then for yourself to share the spinning duties with Steve O'Keefe, but just to get that form, because all of a sudden now, that as soon as that frontier heading to India, that's going to be a really big test series.
To be honest, I've been pretty happy with the way I've been bowling all summer. I know the results haven't shown it, but they've been actually pretty hard wickets to bowl spin on. Bowling spin in Australia is not the easiest job going around. As we saw yesterday, Shah didn't have the greatest confidence in. He's a world-class spinner. He's probably the best leg spinner in the country, in the world. So it's not the best place to bowl spin, but it's a challenge. But I was pretty happy the way Steve O'Keefe and myself went about it, to be able to come out here and beat Pakistan at SCG, where their conditions are... That's probably closest they're going to get to here to being at home, and they're pretty good in their conditions. So to be able to beat them quite convincingly on their closest conditions was pretty satisfying.
Now, you, in another life, were a curator or a groundsman, I think, at the Adelaide Oval, weren't you?
Yeah, worked there for only about 3 months, but all my time at Monica Oval in Canberra.
I was going to say, is that any advantage when you walk out and have a look at the wicket? Do you go back and say to the boys, now, listen, I can tell you exactly about this.
I suppose I've got a head start on it. All the boys play a lot of cricket now, and we see a lot of wickets around the world. So I know Steve Smith and David Warner, they're starting to read wickets really well. But if I can help the younger guys out, I'm more than happy to. But it's just part of the game. I'm pretty lucky, I guess.
What do you look for when you go out? Because you look at the wicket through different eyes. What do you look for?
I'll have a chat to the curator as well and find out. Firstly, how much moisture he's put in it to see what's going to happen. But then you just look at the grass coverage and to see, ask how much he's left on there. Depends how low or high he's cut it at. So just little things that you look at, a lot of other people wouldn't notice, I guess. So little insight.
For yourself, Nathan, we've got through the test, and now, like I said, you're now into the Big Bash side for tonight's game against the Melbourne Renegades, and really important because the Sydney Sixers, 3-2 so far in the Big Bash, and the Melbourne Renegades, 2-2, and as we've seen in previous seasons, if you at least get to the semi-finals, then all of a sudden, just depending on whoever's playing in the ODI series or with injuries, that's almost good to get to the semi-finals, and you're in a reasonable position. So obviously, really important tonight with how close the competition is.
Definitely. It's going to be a great day at the SCG. It's a double header. So we've got the girls going up first. I think they start around 2:30 or something. So then for us to follow them, it's a massive game, as you said. Like, if we can just keep ticking along there, 3-2, if we can hopefully get 4-2 tonight, and then we're well on our way to hopefully getting into the semi-finals. And as soon as you get to semi-finals, it's a new competition. So if we can just keep ticking along and keep playing some good cricket, I know the boys have been playing really well, but I know Jackson Bird, Steve O'Keefe and myself are really looking forward to getting back out there tonight.
And Nathan, or as we've heard all throughout the summer, Gazza, how about this Mickey Edwards stealing your thunder as the cold hero of the Australian Test side?
I thought that was absolutely brilliant. That's why I kept throwing the ball and getting the crowd to erupt. So it was absolutely brilliant. And I know he loved it as well, so it was good fun.
Now, just finally, Nathan, you mentioned the girls. Have you been surprised and admiring the standard of cricket from the girls these days?
Definitely. Yeah, it's definitely grown. And so it should. There's a lot of young girls out there wanting to play cricket as far as we go to a lot of junior camps around the country. And to see the amount of boys and girls going out there and playing cricket, it's exciting. So because it's something we'll be able to really take off, it's a credit off to all the girls playing at the moment and showing their true talent out there. So hats off to them.
Well, we wish you all the best. You've got a busy week coming up. Good luck with it. Great to catch up with you, Nathan.
Too easy. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. Nathan Lyon joining us there. Gary, as they go, let me give him some stick out there on the wicket.
Nice, Gary. Yes, it's all throughout the summer and everything there. Hoss, I will say in regards to the market for tonight, Cozzy, absolutely as even as you can get, the Sydney Sixers and the Melbourne Renegades, $1.90 each of two. For the Sydney Sixers high bat, you've got Daniel Hughes and Nick Maddison, equal favourites at $4, Michael Lum at $4.50, Mose Henriques at $5, and then Brad Haddin at $8. For the Melbourne Renegades high bat, Aaron Finch is the $3 favourite, Cameron White at $4, Tom Beaton at $5, and then Callum Ferguson at $7.50, and really tight with with the Big Bash winner, the Brisbane Heat, the Melbourne Stars and the Perth Scorchers. Share favouritism at $4.50, the Sydney Sixers at $5.50, the Melbourne Renegades at $6, the Adelaide Strikers $17, the Hobart Hurricanes $26, and the Sydney Thunder, they're still alive, but they're $34 outsiders to defend their crown. The Big Bash just continues to go from strength to strength. Cozzy?
It does. 18 past 9, BSB Extra, Sky Sports Radio. Ron Doubleshy joining us now. Morning, Duff. How are you?
Good, thanks, Cozzy.
That's good, mate. I've got to ask you first up. We'll just look at the Magic Millions. We saw Hootson win up there on Saturday with Jeff Lloyd on. Your impressions, I watched it and I looked and I thought, this is still green. It was up the straight, it still looked almost like a little bit lost.
Yeah, it looks a really good type, doesn't it?
Oh.
And horses for courses, and it sprinted away, had plenty up the sleeve. It's just a matter of whether it can just reproduce within 7 days there. So I suppose it didn't have any travelling to do and trained on the track. So, yeah, it's obviously the market has really reacted there, being a favourite and quite a solid favourite now. But it'll be interesting to see what happens when everyone just takes a deep breath and has another look at the form when the barrier draw comes out, as far as what's going to really start favouriting these Magic Millions, which all of a sudden has become very, very intriguing.
Duff, the other thing is too, when you get a big field of babies like that, it's like a golden slipper, and they put the pedal to the metal from the word go. Often horses can react differently under pressure like that, can't they?
Oh, for sure. And a lot of these horses are coming from 1,000-metre form, and, you know, Gaze Filly is coming from 1,000-metre form. And you know, so there's a fine line. How's this track going to play? The fence looked a little bit off there on Saturday at the Gold Coast. I think that'll even out with a bit of sun on the track, though. And the barrier draw, the all-important barrier draw. Who's going to map well in this Magic Million?
Well, at the present moment, Duff, it is still all in for the Magic Millions two-year-old classic, but Hootson was $7 on Saturday morning, and then with that win at the Gold Coast, he's now at the top of the market at $3.60. You've got From Within, who's been pretty much at the top of betting pretty much since we opened up the market, is all in at $4.60. You've got Invincible Star at $7, Medinity at $8.50, then Ours to Keep at $11, then there's ones at $16. You've got Goodfella and Falconic, the other two-year-old in the teens, at $18. So for yourself as a form student, obviously this is the first really big two-year-old race of this current season as you get further along to the Blue Diamond and then the Golden Slipper. But as you talked about, Hoots and the backup is the query, but then you've got From Within and Invincible Star and Medinity, who's actually won in two states. So it's going to be plenty of intrigue on Saturday.
Oh, for sure. You know, what's happened to Medinity? All of a sudden, she wins the race at Wyong. She's a $4 favourite, and all of a sudden, again, she's back out to nearly $8. I think that's a little bit silly, just on the spur of the moment stuff that's happened. So I can't wait for this field to come out, the barrier draw to come out. Look, if you're a Hootson fan, I think you won't get any shorter than that, because I think these other horses are going to attract a lot of support. Personally, I'm a From Within fan. Mm. I think she's an absolute star. But it's not going to be easy. Second start in a race. A few pros are saying she didn't have the figures good enough the other day, but you got to sometimes trust your eye, and she's a filly that just oozes quality.
And, Duff, the other thing is, neither of them have been under the pump yet, have they? Hootson or From Within, that's the question.
That's right. What are they going to give them when they get a bit of, tap around the tail? Are they going to lift or are they going to fold up? Are they giving their best? So a few questions yet to be answered, but they will be answered on Magic Millions Day.
The one good thing is it's a bit of the interstate rivalry almost, isn't it? State of origin stuff, this.
Oh, it certainly is. You've got a Queenslander, you've got a Victorian, and you've got a couple of horses from Sydney as well. So, yeah, and a couple of locals. We're getting Chris's Munster's pair as well.
Yeah.
They haven't done too much wrong, except, you know, we don't know how strong those races have been. So, look, there's form across the board, and I think everyone's anticipating a great race.
Duff, we'll just ask about the three-year-old guineas just before a recap of Warwick Farm on Saturday. Now, winning Rupert, just taking all before him. He's $1.65. Global Glamour looked really unlucky first up, $4.60. And then you've got Eckstein at $11 and Mediterranean's the other galloper, only in the teens at $17. And then it's $26 or better the rest. So, yeah, Global Glamour, we saw during the Melbourne Spring how impressive she was, but winning Rupert could be something else. Does it just seem, from your point of view, as a two-horse race, even though they haven't even announced the final field yet, or is there something that could cause a huge boil over?
Yeah, look, it all revolves around the favourite there. Look, the only negative, well, that is the negative, he's had a few hard runs. He hasn't released the brakes on every occasion, Lloyd, on winning Rupert. He's given him hard runs. He's made him run time from start to finish. How many times can a horse do that? But look, he must be a good doing horse at home, and otherwise you'd be a little bit more kind to him when he's 6 and 7 in front in these races. He's giving really solid tests. So that's the only thing. I want to lay eyes on him, make sure he has it sort of lightened off or anything, but he's obviously looks the real thing, doesn't he?
Yeah, it does. Actually, it's good. There's a decent bunch of youngsters coming through, Duff. It's good. We're not just restricted to one or two, are we?
No, we're not. No, it's taking shape. It's one of those years early, you know, usually we get all our form, nearly that breeder's patent gimcrack forms and form that stands up. I'm not so sure this year. There could be something pop up here even in the new year of these new brigade of horses that may shape up.
We haven't even mentioned She Will Reign yet.
Exactly. There's a couple of beautiful horses and, you know, a couple of these horses going into the Magic Millions. I know it's hard to do it both ends, but come out and go to a slipper after a freshen up. But look, a filly like From Within is only having her second start, so she's been well looked after, and likewise with Gage Filly as well.
Saturday, the first, Colesberg. No one really thought, and B. Shin came down the outside and blew them all out of the water.
Yeah, David had given a few raps in the media leading into the race, and it looked like a typical David Payne, you know, mile type of two-year-old. But it turned into a testing track there at Warwick Farm, and there was certainly this horse that was too strong from out in the middle of the track. The Single Bullet was the horse that was aiming for the Magic Million, and I think Gary was a little concerned when he saw him, you know, the heat started to affect him in the yard, so... Look, I want to be a little bit forgiving. That was a totally different race. It's, you know, he's gone from a really fast race at Wyong to a sprint affair here. And sometimes these horses can't adjust. And let's face it, it's their first time on a wet track as well. So he'll go to the paddock. I wouldn't begrudge him on that and treat him as a good horse when he comes back next preparation. You know, the horse I want to follow out of this race is a horse called Call Me Trouble.
Yeah.
He's a lovely horse.
He's a tracker, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got a... he's still a bit raw, but I think they may go to the paddock with him. And look, I'm not saying he's any golden slipper or group class horse. He's just going to be one of these horses placed going right through his classes. So he's the one with no profile coming out of that race that I want to follow.
He actually looked in the straight a little bit early doors as though, where do I go, what do I do? And then he really got wound up the last 100.
Exactly. He sort of didn't know what he was doing in the slowly run race. And then, like you said, he was in an awkward spot. He's in the wrong part of the track. And when they're sprinting home, it was all too stop-start for him. And he didn't throw it away, that horse. So I'm inclined to think that he might be all right.
Now, when owners ring up and tell you the pronunciation of a horse's name, which happened a little while ago where they beat them, you think they must think this is going to win or go all right. And it's gone all right again. It's got the money again.
Yeah, typical Bowden Muscle there from the Waterhouse Spot Yard and ridden accordingly by Hieronymus. She was back in distance from 1550 to 1400, and that was the key, and just got them all out of their comfort zone and was too tough for them. I still want to follow France here. He's a raw colt. Hopefully he doesn't want to be a gelding, but he's a big, heavy sort of horse. They put the blinkers on him there. He worked home. Just think he might be looking for a drier track and maybe 1550 or something like that, but I don't think... Even though the winner put a gap in them, I don't think this was a bad race because France First Approval aren't bad-looking horses.
All right, Light Chi, a nice win for James Doyle.
He keeps catching my attention, this Doyle. She missed the start and she didn't want to go a yard. He put one round her tail there, 50 metres out of the start after the start, and let her know she was in a race. And he's a very aggressive rider, this James Doyle. And like I said, the more we see of him, the more he's adjusting to our Australian way, that's for sure. Twist Tops was really good. That was her first try at 1400. She went from 11 to 1400, and I thought she did a pretty good job running second there. Rowinda battled on quite well. Harlem Lady, well, she's becoming a bit of a tease. She might be one of these abuels that wants a set of blinkers back on her. And as far as Heartlings and Magic As are concerned, I think maybe we can put it down to the wet track.
Right. Chosen Prayer on the highway.
Just a lovely ride, wasn't it? A lovely ride by Shin. He stalked Yasnat all the way to the end, was in front, travelling sweetly, but he was just smoking his pipe there, Blake, and just race fitness was the difference. Chosen Prayer over the top of Yasnat. There was a gap to third, but their form stood out and it worked out properly.
Hey, Duff, how often in a 3 or 4 horse field do you find the outsider runs best?
a lot, and I think mainly because of how fast they go. Like they want to trot and canter up front here, and it doesn't turn into a real race. It turns out from barrier trial speed to who's got the quickest sprint over 600 metres, and that turned out to be Gold Symphony railing underneath the other couple few horses here and getting momentum. I think Imposing Lass is more of a mile, 1,800 metre sort of a mare, and that sort of situation, although she seemed to be doing it cosy up front, she can't run those sectionals. Mm. She would have been better up off winding it up from the 800 metre mark, in my opinion. So don't give up on hers. That's only her second up run. Song and Laughter, well, we know she eats mud and she ran nicely. Girl Sunday looked well, but probably had enough now.
That trial of Cawthon's Power the other day was just a nice trial, and he looked all right going to that race Saturday.
Yeah, well, you've got to give it to Waller. Chris Waller, he'd been off the boil, and he just looked not in form at two runs back. So he gave him a month off, took him back to the trials for everyone to see where you could make a case for him off that one that trial he had. And Blake was quite bullish about him, and he got over the top of him. Olympic Academy did his thing. He railed up there. You thought he was going to go on with the job. He's just a horse you got to time your run on, Olympic Academy. But his two runs back have been good. And there's another win or two in him for sure. Kingsguard dictated, no excuses. I thought she was one of the better bets. He was one of the better bets of the day. Rock M'Lady, and he was awful. Maybe that sitting outside the league didn't suit him, but I expected much more from him, and he didn't deliver.
Del Cielo missed the start hopelessly his previous run and ran a terrific race. Saturday, didn't miss the kick, got the chockies.
He had a lap on him. Honestly, he's an emerging four-year-old. He's a horse that ran in a Coolmore down the straight at Flemington as a three-year-old. He's been a bit of a hothead, and probably as a two- and three-year-old, they tried to stretch him up to that mile. I don't think that's the case. I think he's a sprinter, 1,200, maybe 1,400 max, and it's good to see him back in action there because he does get on the toe and does a few things wrong, but he may be turning the corner, and we know how much talent he's got, so who knows? He could get up to a nice little listed race and get him on the hop early in the, you know, in the late summer, that's for sure.
Now,
Harara, he's a marvel at Harara, isn't he?
He's 10-year-old?
Yeah, exactly. And Oxford Poet surprisingly had really good support there on Saturday. He's never been tried at 1,000 metres, and he did run well, so he's back in business. But the winner looks an emerging sort of sprinter.
Blake McDougall, he's riding well, that young fella, won on Cadero, the second last.
Yeah, he did, and, you know, he's been an honest horse without winning a lot of races, but he appreciated getting a little bit of sting back in the ground, and he was too good from there a lot. Just back in distance with the blinkers back on, certainly suited her. And Jiggy Willie, well, he's in great form, can yet to miss a place, I think, this preparation. But a boom, have no luck there. Understandably aggressive out of the barracks. I thought she'd get across, but she didn't, and had a bit too much work to do. I thought, you could say, a little bit unlucky not to finish closer.
And the last, King Darcy, got the chockies.
Well, how long's he been in work? Mm. He seems to have been up forever, and he's going from strength to strength, so full credit there to Tim Martin to keep him going. He was pretty good there. I think Zor Konig's a horse to follow. He was only third up there. He got caught on a limb as well, and he battled on particularly well. Find him in another, say, benchmark 77. He's going to be something to bet on, and a good run from King's Officer first up, but I think that may have been aided by a wet track.
Duff, is there one we can hitch our wagon to from Saturday?
Well, I think Del Cielo picks himself, because he's going to be a bit fitter than a few of these sprinters he's going to meet in the coming month, say. And I think Zor Konig could be something to bet on in a similar type race. And I'm sure Peter and Paul will place him in a similar race than that, like that.
All right. Good on you, Duff. Good to catch up, mate. We'll talk to you next week.
See you, guys.
You're listening to BSB Extra. Thanks to Coolmore Australia, home of champions.
26 to 10 with Sean Cosgrove and Trent Langscale this morning. Tab.com.au. Mark Hunter is going to have a look at Benalla for us today. Morning, Mark. How are you?
G'day, Sean. I'm very well, thank you.
Now, we've heard there could be a little bit of rain around up that way.
Yeah, unbelievable. It's come up as a soft five, Benalla, and you look at the radar and it's hot down in Melbourne, but there's certainly some rain going across the top of the state, and it looks like Benalla's getting a little bit more at the moment. There's a stack up near Mildura on its way down. I don't know if that will get there in time, but we may even get a downgrade from a soft five, who knows?
All right, now the rail's true there today. What do you like?
I'm going for race 1, number 7, and race 7, number 4 here. The first one, race 1, number 7, The Lunch, Hayes Davenick horse resuming. Terrific debut at Pakenham, ran on well from the back, went to Geelong, and battled on quite well, went straight for a spell. It's come back, it's had a couple of jump outs. It's sat behind them the other day, looked to have plenty to offer. I think the horse has come back in great order. I don't know the Darren Weir first starter. I think I've got the rest well covered. So we'll make race 1, number 7, The Lunch, the first of the good things.
All right.
Over to race 7, number 4, Katie Cat. Look, you've always got your heart in your mouth here with this horse's style of racing. It gets back, it needs luck. It just got too far back first up and ran on well late. Any rain that might happen to come would certainly be no disadvantage. It'll just be back inside for Talia Hopes. You'll just need to pull the right rein at the right time, and the horse will charge late. Fitter for that first up run, ready to win. I like race 7, number 4, Katie Cat.
All right, there, your best race 1, number 7, The Lunch, 7, number 4, Katie Cat. And look out, because it could get a bit damp at Benalla.
Unusually at this time of year, yes.
Yeah, very strange. All right, good on you, Mark. Have a top day.
Thanks, Sean.
Mark Hunter there, 24-10. Now, odds there, Trent?
With those two that Mark Hunter has selected at Benalla this afternoon, Cozzy, in race 1, The Lunch is the $2.70 favourite, and in race 7, Katie Cat is at the top of the market at $3.20. So they're the two best for Mark Hunter at Benalla this afternoon.
Big day of racing today at Wagga, and Alan Hull's with us now. Morning, Al.
Yeah, good morning, Sean. We'd love a little bit of that moisture from Benalla to find its way up the Hume Highway to Wagga.
Yeah, looks like pretty dry there today.
It's going to be a very, very hot day, Sean. We're probably going to get to mid-35s easily this afternoon. It's already about 28 degrees. Quite a sultry morning, and as the crow flies, Benalla to Wagga, certainly a couple of hundred metres, but in the same sort of area of, Benalla, of course, northeastern Victoria, Wagga in southern New South Wales.
All right, now what do you like there today, Al?
Look, in race 5, I like number 4, Financial Miss. He's trained by Philip Sweeney out at Girildary, where I'm sure the water bag will be under the carriage on through the day. And Financial Miss ran a good second at Coral last start, just didn't round up the winner, which was Supply Money. But Nick Soutay off Barrier 1, I'm prepared to make it my best horse for 4 in race 5. And if you fancy an each-way sputter, a little bit of odds, I didn't mind the prospects of Leo. Number 7 in race 7. There'll be a really hot pace in the flying today. This horse will sit off it, and if they go berserk up in the lead, it might have something to offer late. So each way, you have Sean, Leo, number 7, in race number 7.
All right, so your best, race 5, number 4, Financial Miss, race 7, number 7, Leo, each way basis. Al, stay cool, and we'll talk to you later on today.
Certainly will. Thanks,
Sean. Good on you, Al. Alan Hull joining us there. And let's have a look at his trend.
For the two that Alan Hull has selected there, Cozzy, in race 5 at Wagga on the Riverside Circuit, Financial Miss is the $2.50 favourite. And in race 7, Leo on an each-way basis is $8 the win. Beautiful. And $2.40 to play. So right, they're the two main selections there for Alan Hull at Wagga this afternoon.
All right, now we've been talking about the Magic Millions of the Gold Coast. Now the Blue Diamond second acceptance deadline is tomorrow at lunchtime. So I just want to remind people of that. The Blue Diamond second acceptance deadline is tomorrow at lunchtime. There's a lot happening this time of year, so don't forget it. If you've got babies that you want to accept with for the Blue Diamond Stakes, second acceptance deadline is lunchtime tomorrow.
You're listening to BSB Extra. Thanks to Coolmore Australia, home of champions.
20-10, Ben Everill is one of the gold fighters with PGAtour.com, and he's covering the USA PGA Tour from the Tournament of Champions in Hawaii. He's with us now. Hello, Ben.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah, it's beautiful here in Maui. Just watching Jordan Spieth finish off another cracking round as his mate Justin Thomas is potentially heading for victory here.
Ben, looking at Maui and looking at the grounds, it looks superb. Is there much wind there today or not?
More than we've had the other 3 days. You might be able to hear that through my phone as I said I'm out here. It's just a little breezy, but nothing that should sort of worry them in the finish coming in. And as I said, it looks like Justin Thomas might hold on. He's currently got a 4-shot lead over William McGirt and Hideki Matsuyama. So barring something silly, he should be able to hold through.
You know, just looking at the leaderboard at the moment, Ben, as you've touched on, Justin Thomas with that 4-shot lead, he's at 21 under through 11 holes. You've got William McGirt at 17 under, Hideki Matsuyama also at 17 under, Jordan Spieth 16 under, and then a couple at 15 under in Pat Perez and Ryan Moore. So with Justin Thomas just consistent all the way through there, Ben, 67 in the first three rounds, and as you've said, it would have to be something silly for him to lose this Tournament of Champions.
Yeah, 100%. He's just been really solid all week. Hasn't really looked like putting too many feet wrong. And I just, you know, Hideki Matsuyama is obviously the one guy that can potentially put some heat on. He's playing with him in the final group, but he's going to have to make some birdies quick. Otherwise, it might be a little bit of procession here over the final few holes.
How's Jason Day gone?
Look, pretty average today, to be honest. He's sitting back down at 11 under. He's coming down the 18th as we speak. That's about 14th in the 32-man field. Just basically some rust, especially with the putter. At last count, I think he hadn't made a putt over 6 feet in the last two rounds. So that's very, very unlike Jason to miss sort of 11 inside 10 feet, I think, over the first three rounds as well. You know, hasn't played for 3 months, had that back injury, obviously, at the end of last year. Hopefully he'll blow out some of the rust here, and in a couple of weeks' time at Torrey Pines will be raring to go.
Reports were, tee to green, he was fine. It was just the putter was letting him down a bit.
Yeah, look, he's still a little bit erratic off the tee, but, you know, the fairways are pretty wide here, so he got away with that. As I said, just hasn't been able to make anything of any significance. Two sort of 20-foot putts, one in each of the first two rounds, is basically it. Everything else that was in makeable range, he's missed. So very unlike the Jason Day we're used to, who makes bombs and birdies all over the place with that putter. And I think, you know, these greens here are a bit grainy. They're definitely slopey. It's a hard place to sort of come in off 3 months' break.
Just looking at some of the greens on the television coverage, like, you normally expect to find a bit of sand around the outside. Some of these look like they've got dirty, great big rocks on the edge of the water. If you land in there, you're in all sorts of strife.
Yeah, look, as I said, it's extremely hilly here too at Capital. You don't necessarily see that on the coverage. And it's just lots of breaks. It's really fast down grain, downhill, like, ridiculous fast, but then uphill super, super slow into that grain. So very hard for these guys to get a feel for their speed and keep it continuously throughout the 4 rounds.
We've talked about Jason Day there, Ben. Might as well check on the other three Australians that did get into the field for the tournament of champions. So Rod Pampling, he has finished at 11 under. He had a 4 under last round there of 69. So good finish there for Rod Pampling. And you've got Aaron Baddeley, he finished at 6 under. And Greg Chalmers at 5 under. So, like I said, good to see Rod Pampling finish there pretty well with the 69 in the final round.
Yeah, look, Pamps was also a guy that had a little bit of trouble with his putter. I think he said he had 7, 8, or 9 three-putts over his 4 rounds. And, you know, you just can't compete with that many three-putts in a tournament. Other than that, he hit it very well. Nice and solid tee to green and keeping up that veteran form we saw with that big win late last year. You know, he's going to have a couple of years on tour to head towards that seniors tour in 3 years' time. So, you know, hopefully Rod can jag a few more wins in that time.
In regards to Jordan Spieth, he's had this fantastic final round. He has finished with a 65, so an 8 under there. The birdies weren't necessarily the issue for Jordan Spieth over the 4 rounds, was it, Ben? It was just, unfortunately, just some really costly bogeys and even worse double bogeys throughout the 4 rounds.
Yeah, look, the other day he had a double and a triple bogey in his round, hit it into the hazard twice on 17, has basically led the field in birdies. But as you said, it's going to fall up a little bit short. He won the tournament by 8 shots last year. I think he'll take plenty of positives forward. He's actually playing next week over at Honolulu in the Sony Open, and he'd be your red-hot favourite right now, given how many birdies he's got, and he just needs to get rid of a little bit of that rust that brought those big numbers.
Hey, Ben, there's a bit of prize money on this, isn't there?
Oh, you know, just the usual sort of 1.1 or so million these blokes play for when they win. And, you know, they're all winners in this 32-man field event. So you can come near last and probably fuck it around 100 grand this week.
Now, is this? I reckon I saw one report all up the prize money is up around about 6 mil for the whole thing.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, we have
US
well in advance of 9 million most tournaments as well. So there's plenty of money on offer for these boys. If you've got a young kid who not sure what sport they might want to get into, maybe throw them a golf club, see how they go.
For yourself, Ben, just for those, I mean, Justin Thomas looks like, and we're not trying to put any, you know, going early crow or anything, but it looks like he's going to be the winner of the Tournament of Champions. Just for those that don't know too much about him, I mean, having a look, he got through to win to get into this tournament by winning the CIMB Classic, which is the co-sanctioned event there in Kuala Lumpur. He's won that in the last couple of years, so it would be good for him, the fact that this is going to be his first tournament on sort of American or around that soil and everything, rather than the Malaysian event. Just a little bit about him.
Yeah, look, he's a young guy that came through at the same time as Spieth. They're good friends. In fact, Justin Thomas won Player of the Year in college golf over here over Jordan Spieth a few years back. He's long been touted as a bit of a star, a bit of a self-made swing as his father as a coach. You know, really sort of put in the shadow because of how quickly Spieth came along on the pro game. But, yeah, he's ready to sort of force his way into that upper echelon. He said he feels like it's time to compete at that level often, and he's proving it now, as you said. If he wins, this will be the biggest win of his career. He'll jump towards the top 12, I think, in the world, and, you know, really sort of be one of the young stars in the game.
Just having a look on his bio at the moment there, Ben, and he went from Alabama, so he'll be keeping an eye on the TV in around about, say, 26 to 28 hours when Alabama play that huge college football championship game against Clemson. There might be a couple of Clemson buddies on the tour he might have to have a little wager with.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been talking it up all week. He said he's more nervous about the national championship football game than he has been in this tournament.
Roll tide.
He's definitely rolling tide, yes, that's for sure.
No, well, fantastic. Ben, obviously, thanks for your time. You're over there now and look after the PGA Tour as one of the riders there. Just a terrible place to be at the present moment there, just in Hawaii. Looks absolutely pristine. I know Andrew Bensley will continue to have you on throughout our time here on BSB Extra. So thank you for your time during the Tournament of Champions, Ben, and no doubt we will chat to you pretty soon.
Yeah, look forward to it, boys.
Good on you, Ben. Thanks a lot. Ben Everill joining us there. He's one of the golf writers there for PGA.com. Now it is 12 to 10 at Sky Sports Radio. Dean Lester about to join us to take a look at the Caulfield racing from the weekend. And he's with us now. Morning, Dino. How are you?
I'm well, Sean. Thank you.
We were talking with the Duff earlier and just saying, first of all, look at the Magic Millions, because the Victorian, I suppose we've got Medinity there. But I tell you what, it shapes at this stage, barrier draw later on this afternoon, to be an absolute ripper race, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, because you've got different sort of components, the real speed horses, and then there'll be the group that can sit off the speed, and then the intricacies of the Gold Coast track and the big field and the two-year-olds, how they cope with the day. So there's a lot to sort of digest, as it is every year, but it's shaping really well.
This one looks as though it's a bit thicker than some other years. There's a few more chances. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think most of the good years of the Magic Millions, we've had the really dominant 2-year-old, and we've just come to see him put the finishing touches on it and win a General Nadim or a Testa Ross or one of those. But this year, no, the depth's there, I think, and you can make a case for a few. And there's even a couple of roughies there that have got some hope as well.
Dean, just run through a few of them quickly. First of all, Medinity, the Victorian one from David Hayes. It's almost like a favourite a while ago. We've forgotten about it a bit now.
Yeah, well, she's been doing her thing pretty well. She's won 2 of 3 and was on the wrong side of the straight when she was beaten. I think the query on her is a really strong 1,200, and I still don't think she got around the last part of the turn at Wyong very well, but maybe that experience will have brought her on.
All right, Hootson. You could not fail to be impressed by it on the weekend.
No, it's the here and now, and that's why it's it's shortened in the market, because we've seen it around the track, seen it in form, even its win previous where it beat Garrard. That ties in with good 2-year-old form down in Melbourne. So, there's plenty to like about Hootson.
Okay, from within, again, similar category.
Yep, good performance on debut. Nothing wrong with what she's done to date. And I certainly think, Chris Waller's just so meticulous with his placement of the horses that she won't go up there unless she's spot on. And if she's spot on, she should run very well.
An Invincible Star, another I'm Invincible?
Yeah, well, she was the one that beat Medinity down the straight when Joe Maria went hard to the outside first race Melbourne Cup day. And she's obviously trialled very well in recent weeks, and I think she's in the mix. But I think there's a really good roughie, Madame Moustache. She's got plenty of experience, and two, she had absolutely no luck last start. I just think she's the little sleeper in the field at Trent, but about $51, I think.
Yes, Dean, $51 the win. Ooh. And $13.50 the place. So I'd expect that price will change in about 5 minutes after a few of your the listeners just get on the Adino, as they know that you can find one at a big price. So $51, that might not last too long.
Well, I mean, it all comes down to the draw tomorrow, or this morning, I should say. But I think she's a little player for sure.
Now, speaking of babies, Catchy goes all right as well. Another one of the Hayes camp. He's having a good run.
He is. I thought catchy. Look, I thought she was absolutely dynamic winning on debut. I think Saturday she was more workmanlike, ridden a little bit closer, probably not as dynamic with her finishing rush, but I think she beat a pretty good horse in Property. And what I liked was probably the last 100 metres. Property had trialled really well. He laid out on straightening and she had to sort of change course. And once she got the better of him, she really put him away that last little bit. And I like that. I like the way she's going. I think I don't think she's a superstar, but she's going to get to probably Blue Diamond Day. Really well educated. Handles Caulfield. Will run 1,200 strongly. And just unless it's a... there's an exceptional horse come out in the next 4 or 5 weeks, which is a big chance. That's how the two-year-old seem to be now. She's you know, rightfully high up in the market.
Yeah, just with that, Cozzy, and Dean Catchy is the $9 favourite with us for the Blue Diamond Stakes. You've got Tulip also from the Hayes and Dabney Guard at 11. You've got Aspect 13 and then a few at $15 for Melody Khan and Medinity there. And there was one that ran at Morfordville on Saturday, Dean, in Rumours, who won for Tony McAvoy, a $17 chance. But there's only about 20 that are in the market. There are a heap of nominations and the next declarations come out in a couple of days. So we'll have another market. About the present moment, Catchy's the $9 favourite.
Now, there's a bit of a pattern, Dino, forming with Sean Mathrick. If he backs one up within about a week and backs it, get on.
Yeah, and if it's a tried horse that's sort of lost its way, he can turn them around very quickly. Mm. This horse, Skullduggery, he was a really promising horse about this time last year. He had really good form around good, talented horses. And horse like He's Our Rocky, the Group 1 Turak Handicap winner. He had form around him, and but in the spring and summer, he lost his way. Went to the mixed sale. Sean, I think, parted with about 20 grand for him. And that was early December. And by Boxing Day, he turned him around to win. He ran well through the week at Sandown. As you said, the three-day backup, not a problem. And he got the money. And they did get the money because he was very well backed.
25s to about fives, wasn't he?
Yeah, about that. Yep. he does open up the shoulders on a lot of his runners.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they do get a prize, that's for sure.
They were the Chris Lynn of the punters with him. They belted him out of the ground with that, didn't they,
Skullduggery? Well, they certainly did. He's had a few swings and misses at times, but that one in Adirondack last year at Caulfield, I think they've paid for a few of the mishits.
Now, Darren Weir's got another handy horse, Clancy L. He's looking Hobart Cup for him. We thought maybe a race in two with rewarding effort, but it didn't develop that way.
Yeah, rewarding effort didn't run the 1800. He had a beautiful run. He was outside of Planciel, didn't run the trip. Cool Chap was the one that had the best form. He was the only horse in the race dropping in grade and accordingly ran very well. But Planciel, what I just admire about the Darren Weir stable is they're always tinkering with things. This horse, his first two wins, he got a little bit hot in the mounting yard. So Boxing Day, Darren Weir actually walked beside him in the mounting yard and didn't help much. He got very worked up. So on Saturday, they got permission to bring him in late, and he went in straight onto the track, straight out, kept him lovely and calm. He races really well. It's just the pre-race that he gets a bit wound up, and Saturday he raced really well, and he won well. He had to go a bit early, so he probably looked a little bit flat on the line, but I don't think he's got any problem getting a longer trip.
Well, the Hayes stable have a lot of horses. The only one they give a pat to regularly be old Bradman. Geez, been a good old handy horse.
Geez, him and I thought you were going to say Extra Zero.
Oh, Extra Zero. What a great run that, too.
Yeah, I'll be giving him a pat.
Yeah.
He's won over hurdles. He's placed in an Australian Cup, placed in a VRC Derby 7 years ago. He's running against horses at a by Monaco Console, and he ran second to Monaco Console in the Derby. That's just extraordinary.
Great run Saturday the way he got home, wasn't it?
Yeah, he powered home off of fast speed, and he got into the placings. We were talking about him on Saturday, what a great place horse he is. And I think the punters picked up on that because he was ESP'd $81, but he paid about $9 a place. So,
unbelievable.
But as you said with Bradman, he won a Bendigo Guineas as a three-year-old, and he looked a really good horse, but he's just... I think that was an absolute career best run. And this 78, 84 grade's about where he's at. And on Saturday, the leaders went way too slow here and gave the chance to the backmarkers just to build momentum. And by the time they asked the leaders to go again, Bradman, Shockaholic, they just had a full head of steam up and they just swept down the outside.
All right, Dino, yours to follow from Saturday?
Look, I think Catchy's a fairly obvious one going forward through the race. I think Amadeus out of race two, we didn't mention him. He just needs further. He ran over 1,100 on Saturday. He hit the line well. 1,200 or 1,300 next time, I think he'll be he'll be getting the money, and I wouldn't drop off Amber Australia. I thought slowly run race. She was a beaten favourite, but I think she'll be winning pretty soon.
And the barrier draw will be very interesting this afternoon when it comes out for the Magic Millions.
Yeah, there's not many more important barrier draws re-track when you go to the Gold Coast because you just got to be in that right spot or you can be just taken so out of position.
All right. Good on you, Dino. Have a top weekend, a cup week.
Terrific, guys. We'll speak to you through the week.
There we go. Dean Lester there. Now it is 4 to 10, Sky Sports Radio. Matt Windley joining us now to talk the A-League, Trent.
He is, Matt. Good morning to you from News Limited, and we'll get straight to what's happened over the weekend, Matt, because you've got Sydney FC up against Western Sydney, the second Sydney derby of the season. Sydney FC, they managed to get out of jail yesterday in Gosford, winning 3-2 away to the Mariners, but Western Sydney just falling 1-0 away to Melbourne City in a controversial affair.
Continues the stories of the season. Good morning, boys. Central Coast, you've got to give credit to them. Very competitive at the moment, much more competitive than last season, which is great for the competition. And, they gave Sydney FC a big shout, a big fright that, as has so often been the case this year, Sydney FC just know how to get the job done. They know when to score, when the big moments arise, and they score another deserved victory. I think there was obviously some controversy late in that game, but I don't think anyone would begrudge Sydney FC the success. And their unbeaten run just continues to roll on. 14 games now, it's unbelievable. They're going so, so well. And on the other side of the fence, it's Western Sydney. They just don't know how to get the job done. I mean, they managed to stay in what was a fairly scrappy game against Melbourne City for a long time, despite the fact they went down to 10 men. But their lack of cutting edge up front just continues to be a problem. So this is going to be a massive Sydney derby for many reasons. Sydney FC, obviously, to stay unbeaten, but also Western Sydney, you know, trying to keep in touch with the sides in the top part of the table, which is proving really hard considering they've only won 2 games out of 14 so far this season. Unbelievable.
7:50 Saturday night at Allianz Stadium. You've got Sydney FC $1.67, the draw at $4, and Western Sydney at $4.50. Another intriguing match for round 15, Matt, will be Sunday 5 o'clock at McDonald Jones Home Stadium there in the Hunter, where Newcastle are up against Perth. And a little bit surprised here, Newcastle $2.60, the draw $3.50, and Perth $2.50. We've remarked about Perth struggles during the season, but let's focus on the positive. Newcastle, fantastic win, 3-2 away to Brisbane on Saturday night at Suncorp Stadium.
I'm not surprised almost. I spoke a little bit about it last week. For whatever reason, Newcastle have a fantastic record against Brisbane, and especially at Suncorp Stadium. It's just one of those weird ones where they just often get the job done despite their struggles of recent times. And they do it again on the weekend. And Coach Mark Jones, and probably rightfully so, considering their last few weeks, now says that they've got their eyes on the top four. And considering that it's Brisbane so far in fourth spot, and they're the ones that they're chasing, that's a massive sort of 6-point type turnaround win for them to keep them in the hunt for that. They're well entrenched inside the top six, which is great to see because the Jets have been a real struggling team for the last few years. And they go across to Perth where they won a few weeks ago and, we'll have full confidence that they can do so again.
Yeah, I remember remarking about the fact when they actually did beat Perth in round 10, it was the first time they beat the Glory. Well, that was in 15 attempts going back to December 2011. They had 2 draws and 12 losses before shocking Perth there in round 10 at NIB Stadium. So they'll be pretty happy to be at home on Sunday, the 5 o'clock game there in the Hunter. And also from the weekend, Matt, well, Adelaide United up against Melbourne Victory. Adelaide United just continue to struggle. Melbourne Victory with the 2-0 win at Cooper Stadium. They're at home to Brisbane on Friday night at Amy Park, and Melbourne Victory are the $1.70 favourites. And as you look at the ladder at the moment, Sydney FC on 36, Melbourne Victory 29. They've cleared away from Melbourne City. It does look as though Melbourne Victory are the biggest danger to the Sky Blues, not for the Premier's plate, Sydney FC's got that, but for the grand final itself.
Yeah, 100%. These two teams are playing against each other in a couple of weeks' time. Australia Day, can't wait. I hope Sydney FC stay undefeated till then because it'll be a massive game in Etihad Stadium with Melbourne Victory trying to top them off for the first time. Obviously, the Sydney Derby is the big game of the weekend, but in terms of the ladder positions and whatnot, Melbourne Victory versus Brisbane is huge because those top four teams are really getting away from the rest of the pack despite Brisbane's loss on the weekend. And so, therefore, you know, it's a real 6-point game between two sides jostling for the top positions. If Melbourne Victory can win that, then that top two in terms of Sydney FC and Melbourne Victory will be starting to get away from Melbourne City and Brisbane Roar. So it's a huge, huge game, and especially so for Brisbane Roar, considering they're going to really want to keep track of Sydney FC and Melbourne Victory. And then, as you say, Melbourne City, they travel to Adelaide United on Thursday night. You just have to back Melbourne City at the moment. They're not going massively well, five games without a win before the weekend, and it wasn't hugely convincing with the new coach on Friday night against Western Sydney, but they still got the job done. But you just back anyone against Adelaide at the moment. They're going deplorably, only one win for the season, a really, really bad title defence, and things just continue to go bad for worse at Cooper Stadium.
All right, mate, we will catch up the next week. Matt's gone pear-shaped for him, hasn't it? Adelaide?
Unbelievable. Yeah, just incredible. It's unbelievable. You know, we keep waiting for them to do what they did last year, but it's just they're leaving it too long. Leaving it way too long.
Not going to happen. All righty, catch you next week. Talk to you soon, Matt.
Thanks, boys. Have a great day.
Matt Windley there, News Limited. Now, Trent, it's almost 10 o'clock. Any updates that we should know about that you think we should hook on to today?
Cozzy, you just mentioned the last of the NFL wildcard playoff games is in action at the moment. The Green Bay Packers are at home to the New York Giants, and the Packers have just scored, so it is 7-6 in their favour. In the live venue, you've got Green Bay $1.55 and the New York Giants at $2.45. Just mentioned the other matches. So yesterday, the Houston Texans 27-14 at home to the Oakland Raiders. The Seattle Seahawks 26-6 at home to the Detroit Lions, and earlier this morning the Pittsburgh Steelers 30-12 over the Miami Dolphins. So in the AFC side of the NFL playoffs, Cozzy, next week in the divisional round, the New England Patriots will be at home to the Houston Texans, the Kansas City Chiefs will be home to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and on the NFC side of the playoffs, the Dallas Cowboys will play the winner of the Packers against the Giants, and the Atlanta Falcons will be at home to the Seattle Seahawks. But there's plenty happening. Sydney International today, you can check out all the markets at tab.com.au.
Good on you, Trent. Talk to you through the day.
Will do, Cozzy.
Trent Langsale there, tab.com.au, 2 past 10, Sky Sports Radio.